Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Transform Your Life. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening, wherever you are calling in from around the world. In a short moment from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Dominique Merov. But before I do that, I just wanted to take a couple of moments up front just to chat about how this call will work this evening. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Dominique a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of those questions will be my own, but the vast majority of the questions will have actually been submitted through the web form prior to the call. Now, I've actually known Dominique for a couple of years now, and we were actually introduced through a very good friend of mine, Steve Noble, who I've also interviewed on peopleyoushouldmeet.com call before. And we reunited very synchronistically over in India while I was there in December. Like, I was over there for a month, and Dominique had just spent 5 months up in the Himalayas working on her new book on the metamorphic technique. And we had a really lovely opportunity to spend some time together and connect in Goa, and we had some phenomenal conversations about life, about healing, about the transformational process. And really those conversations have provided the springboard and the inspiration for sharing this conversation with a larger audience. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call Dominique Merov. How are you doing, Dominique?
I'm really happy to be here, Damien. Thank you. Yeah, I'm great.
Welcome. Great. Now, Dominique, I just wanted to kick to call off by asking, what exactly is transformation?
Well, transformation is basically the flow of life. So when we don't get in the way, transformation happens to all of us, happens to the birds, the bees, and man. And it's basically a process by which we dissolve the old, all the old stuff that no longer serves us, so that we can become who we're becoming. You know, in the way that the caterpillar lets go of its structure and then is reborn as a butterfly. That's transformation. So it's something that's permanent, and it's something that's completely natural. It doesn't require an effort to transform. It's our birthright to be continually in transformation.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you describe that it's a natural process. Just the fact that it can be organic. I know lots of people in the personal development have probably been exposed to lots of transformation that's been hard for. And I was just wondering if you could actually go a little bit deeper into describing just this whole natural flow of transformation.
Well, I guess what we're looking at is, on an energetic level, anything that is dense is going to sort of loosen its density and be reborn as something lighter. So if you had a pattern of depression, well, if you think of depression, for example, basically the flow of life is continually moving through us. And when you have depression, in a way you're building a wall to hold back that flow of life. So all your energy is focused on creating this dam. And in transformation, you stop diverting your energy to build this wall, and it loosens, it lets go of this dam, and all that energy goes to rebuild your life, to be used creatively. So transformation can happen in a very subtle way, where you have a pattern and then all of a sudden it transforms, and then all of a sudden you're no longer behaving that way, you're no longer feeling that way, you're no longer engaging in destructive behavior or repeating the same behavioral patterns with relationship, for example. Or it can have a different process, which is when you go into the cocoon of transformation. So if you think of the caterpillar, for example, it's a two-dimensional creature. You know, its life is down on the ground, you know, face down, and it forages on the ground. So its existence is quite small. But its potential is to be completely free and multidimensional. And so what it needs to do to get from A to B is that it needs to build this cocoon in which it can dissolve parts of its body that were the caterpillar and give birth to new parts of its being. So that's that's going into the cocoon of transformation, which is a great dissolving of the old and rebuilding of the new.
See, that's a beautiful metaphor. And I was just wondering if you could actually go a bit deeper into the cocoon of transformation. I know lots of people on the journey go into the cocoon, and it can feel like it's a new environment, and many people might not have a reference point for going into that space. And I was just wondering how important actually is the cocoon in the transformation process? Can you just, would it be possible to be a caterpillar one day and a butterfly the next? Is the cocoon a real necessary part of this whole process?
Again, I think it's these two possibilities. You can transform just instantly. I mean, I've had people who, one person came and said, you know, my deepest desire is to be married, and I've not had a date in 2 years. And so we had a session, and that night he met somebody. So basically, the pattern that was holding off the possibility of connecting with someone dissolved. And then, of course, he naturally attracted someone immediately. So in this case, he didn't go into the cocoon. It was an immediate and sort of very light and effortless transformation from being stuck to manifesting what he wanted to manifest.
Wow.
And some people go into more of a process of deconstruction. And, you know, that involves, you know, layers that peel off. Or sometimes you might have destructive behavior, and then as you're clearing it, you'll feel it as it's leaving your energy field. So you might have had an addictive pattern, for example. Maybe you were smoking or drinking, and this wasn't beneficial for you, and you're using your will to suppress it, but actually the pattern is not resolved at a deep level. So in transformation, what will happen is that the pattern may come, and you might smoke for a couple of weeks, and this is fine and perfect. It's just you resolving, you know, doing what you need to just clear the last remnants of that pattern. I think where people get stuck is that the mind and the ego are always trying to protect us, and they're really surface layers of the being, and so they don't have the context for what goes on at the deeper levels. So when something uncomfortable happens, the mind and ego will go, contract, you need to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that these transformational events get blocked midstream. It's really interesting because there's a man who wrote a book about trauma called Peter Levine. And in it, he says that every traumatic event is a two-part movement. So first you have the trauma, and then you have the resolution of the trauma. And what happens is that we make a quantum leap whenever we have a transformational event. We shift in who we are. But if the ego and the mind come in and try to protect us and make us contract, we stop that process midstream, and so we get stuck. And when we get stuck in a pattern, what happens is that it's going to have to repeat again and again. And every time it comes back, it's basically an invitation to transform it again. But the more it happens, the more we create a sense of self around it. Like, oh, look, you know, my men always leave me, you know. And so it happens, and we don't take the opportunity to expand into who we can be. And personality will do all sorts of things to block that transformation, including, you know, we tell our friends and then they commiserate with us, and then we join support groups for victims of X, Y, Z. And all of this is building a personality structure around our problems instead of going with the flow of transformation, which would naturally land us in a much more expanded place.
Well, it's very, very interesting. I was just wondering, Dominique, how did you actually get involved in the whole field of transformation? Was it something you've always been drawn to, or is it something that's unfolded with time?
I mean, I feel very connected to transformation, and I think I was born with quite a few blocks that needed transforming. I was struggling with my own issues, and through transforming them, it really gave me a sense that everybody can transform anything.
What particular challenges did you come up against on your journey?
Well, I'd say that in my childhood, I had, you know, difficult things in my family life, abandonment with my mother. I used to get kicked out of the house when I was 8, and I would get kicked out every Saturday morning. And I would hide in the corridor in my nightie, feeling quite ashamed, but I hadn't really done anything. And so I didn't really know why I was bad. I felt very fearful that the neighbors would see me. And I would hide in the stairwell. And I actually would write songs in my head there. And this led to me leaving school and becoming a musician. But what was interesting was that when I would take my beautiful creation, my music, and knock on the door of the record companies, I had this expectation that the door would never open for me. And of course it never did. And I always felt that I was bad, but I wasn't sure why. So there was that. And then as a young woman, when I was, I had moved, left Montreal and moved to New York, to play in bands, my own wounds made me look to drugs to basically suppress the feelings of you know, feeling not good enough and not strong enough, and basically scared. So I had a long-term addiction and really felt that I was much weaker than other people and struggling. And then when I healed the addiction, it appeared that perhaps I'd been sexually abused. So there was a lot of stuff, and I was always trying to heal it so that I could get this record deal and play music and be seen and be loved. Mm. And as I went along and started healing things, I felt less and less drawn to the music and more attracted to assisting other people in their own transformation.
Mm. And what sort of healing modalities have you played with and experimented with over that time?
I did. Initially, I went to counseling. So, you know, working with the mind to try to understand things, mind and emotions. And then I went and did primal therapy. So I did a lot of workshops where I was screaming out the stuff. Did that quite intensely for a while. And then it feels to me that as things get lighter, as you clear stuff, you work on subtler and subtler levels. So then I went to do color light therapy and theta healing and light body work. So much, you know. and then finally I found metamorphic. And what's interesting about metamorphic is that it's not actually a healing technique. It's actually a method of transformation, and the transformation comes purely from the person themselves, because we believe that our full potential is always there in our energy field, just waiting to be revealed. And then we have these patterns that feel like blocks and issues and things that we struggle with that sort of block that full potential from expressing itself. And what's interesting is that our view is that these patterns are actually life lessons, and that we've incarnated and we've chosen these particular life lessons because these are the things that will grow us. So I needed all of those challenges in my early life to really understand that we can transform permanently. And now I feel very sort of light and free of that heavy past, but there was a time when I felt completely blocked and wounded. But in transformation, I think we're able to, well, I was able to just let go of that whole sense of self and now feel very free and very much on purpose and aligned with my potential.
I just love what you said there, Dominique, about our full potential is just waiting there in our energy field. And I remember someone actually sharing with me that the DNA structure of the caterpillar is absolutely exactly the same DNA structure of a butterfly. It's just that some parts of that DNA are active in the butterfly where they're dormant in the caterpillar. And I just love what you shared there about the just our greatness and our full potential is literally sitting there waiting for us to tune into it and to listen to it and go through a process of really, I guess, activating the gifts that we have to give the world.
Yeah. I mean, another interesting one is that in 1970, there was this professor at Cornell University, and he created this machine that allowed him to photograph the energy field of a seed. So if he put an acorn and photographed it, in the picture, he would see a subtle outline of an oak tree. It's like what we can become is always there, radiating around us and just waiting to, basically, for us to allow it to come into our lives.
Wow. Mm. Excellent. Now, we mentioned in the call promo the planetary shifts that are going on at the moment, and I think lots of people are certainly feeling the call to transform on a personal level for a whole variety of different reasons. And I was just wondering if you could share some insight into what's happening on a bigger scale, like Earth and planet-wise, in terms of this whole process being a shared collective transformational process.
Mm. It's funny because when we met in Goa, it was something you said about the economy. I had been up in the Himalayas, in such a remote place. It was just me and a kitten. And occasionally I would put on BBC News and hear the reports about the economy, and it sounded like it was the end of the world, you know. and then you were so expanded. And that was what triggered me into realizing that we were in the cocoon of transformation. Mm. So I think a lot of people who are into all this spiritual stuff have heard about the prophecies that the wisdom cultures have prophesied that there will be a shift. And what I realized was that, you know, we're in the deconstruction. And right now, anything that doesn't serve truth and expansion is breaking down. And when I came back to London and asked everybody, you know, how's your business? How's everything going? All the people I knew were saying, it's fine. Everything's going great. So I feel that everything that is in alignment with expansion and truth and cooperation and all of the qualities that we're moving towards as a people, all of these things will do really well. But anything that is about the old ways, about where a small group of people profit and the rest of the people are enslaved just so that they can have a home, all of these old ways are going to break down because they don't serve humanity anymore.
Mm. Yeah, very, very powerful time. And just what you said there about deconstructions, I think it's very, very poignant and sort of reminded me of a quote from Picasso. And the quote was, every act of creation is necessarily an act of destruction. And I suppose in terms of bringing in all this vibrant new energy, new potential, the old has to be deconstructed or destructed in order for that space to be created and for something to grow back that's going to take us to a completely new way of being in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the energies are really strong right now, and this is why, personally, anything that's not really serving our highest good is going to really shake loose. All of that has an energetic frequency, and all the old stuff is very, very dense. And so with the new energies on the planet, that stuff is going to really start to shake up, and that's an invitation to transform that. So if we just stay open and flexible and ride the wave, rather than contract and get really hard. You know, if we contract, it's going to be painful. But if we stay open, things will transmute. An interesting thing that I realized last week was that, you know, we've always been evolving as a species. Like we were fish and then we became mammals and then we were monkeys and then we became men. And we have this idea, this assumption that this is, you know, this is the end. And now all that we need to evolve is the external stuff, like better technology and so on. But that's not the case. We need to evolve who we've been. There have been a lot of ways that just don't serve us anymore. It doesn't serve us for us to be fighting each other anymore. Mm. You know, all this war and all the personal little wars that we have in our lives, it just does not serve us. We need to be cooperating, collaborating, and opening our hearts to each other. And we're being pushed in that direction. So we need to go with the flow.
Yeah, I think that's really...
And expand.
Yeah, profound. One of the thoughts I had recently, just with the media and we're talking about recession and sort of the economic climate contracting, and it really made me think about the whole vacuum laws of the universe and how that nature abhors like vacuums. So literally, with something contracting, something else in the universe needs to be expanding to fill that void. And I just love what you shared there about the old ways are actually contracting and the old ways are breaking down, and not to be drawn into the fact that that's the path for everything. It's not at all. It's actually there is a whole plethora of different things in the world that are expanding and growing and alive, and just being in flow with those things is going to be really, really powerful for people. So I'm glad that you shared that with us, Dominique. Now, you've had an opportunity to work with lots of different people, Dominique, as a facilitator and also as a practitioner. I was just wondering if you could share with people what kind of people are actually drawn to this work, in specifically the metamorphic technique, and how their lives actually transformed as a result of being exposed to this kind of work.
There's a saying amongst practitioners and teachers of the technique that whenever someone finds their way to metamorphic technique, they're already in transformation. So some of them realize it, and some of them don't realize it, but they just decide to come for a session. I've had all sorts of people. I have spiritual people. I've had the head of major record companies. I've had Christian ministers, a lot of women, because women are really in the flow of transformation at the moment. But lately I've just come back and there have been a lot of men, so that's been really exciting. I've had people who sometimes feel just really stuck, and they've tried lots of different things that haven't worked, and they want to try something where they don't have to struggle with it or figure it out. They can just come to a session, and the way we approach a session is that we don't consider that their issues, their patterns and blocks are actually problems. They're just part of their makeup at this time, and they serve a purpose. But there's a willingness to transform them and let them go, so that's why they come. And in a way, when they come to a session, they're just looking for a catalyst for transformation. It's as if, you know, they're like a seed. The seed knows exactly how to grow itself. It doesn't need to be told, you know, grow your branch in this direction or that direction. It knows what to do. And in the same way, we know exactly what to do to move towards our potential. And we just need a ground in which we can grow, to act as a catalyst. So like the seed, if you leave it on the table, it won't grow. But if you put it in the earth doesn't do anything to it. But that contact acts as a catalyst and allows the seed to do its thing, you know, which is to expand and become who it wants to become. So we really never interfere. And it's quite a rare thing in life that to be with someone who's not trying to shape you in any way. It's quite a relief in a way.
That's this beautiful metaphor of the seed. It just conjures up beautiful images of just being held and nurtured in the soil. Really, really beautiful. Okay, Dominique, I mentioned earlier on we had a lot of questions that came through from people all around the world, and I was just wondering if it was okay if I could ask you some of the questions now.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Okay, I've got a question here from Sally in the United Kingdom. And Sally wanted to understand what exactly the metamorphic technique is and how it actually differs from other transformational processes.
Okay. So metamorphic technique is, it's an amazing tool for transformation and for personal development. It's actually a type of body work that is very simple, and I feel it's a real tool for humanity, especially now, because it's a layman's tool. It's not something that is complicated to do, and you don't need to be a healer or even interested in healing to learn to use it. It involves a light touch on the feet, hands, and head. It's a very non-technical kind of touch. It's a light stroking. And we're touching specific points on the on these places that correspond to our time in the womb. And the reason we touch these places is because all the patterns and blocks that we later experience, we feel are seeded during that time in the womb. And so we're lightly stroking to act as a catalyst and to loosen the very root of these patterns. And so when you, when if you pull something out at the root, then the outward manifestation can no longer exist. That's why we feel that patterns dissolve permanently.
Great. Okay, got some more sort of practical questions as well. This one's from M in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And M in the United Kingdom wanted to know the brief history of the metamorphic technique, how it evolved, etc., and also how and where they can learn how to practice it on themselves and on friends and family.
Okay. In the 1950s, there was a naturopath, a British naturopath in England, and he was using reflexology, which is a kind of a strong foot massage, and it affects the whole body. It's a healing massage that works along energy lines that start on the feet, but they affect the organs and circulation and the hormones. And he was refining this reflexology. And his first discovery was that if the area that corresponds to the heart was blocked, this blockage was also found along the spinal line. So he realized that the spine is a bit of a matrix for the whole being. And so he refined his practice to just work along this one line on the foot. And if somebody had lower back pain, he would just work the lower part of the spinal line, which is around the heel. And what was happening was that out of maybe 20 people who had this treatment, maybe half of them would come back and say, after that session, I had so many things coming up about my mother. So some mm-hmm. of them would say, I was really angry with my mother, or I was missing my mother, or they would have stuff coming up about their own capacity as a mother, like longing to be a mother or resenting being a mother or whatever it was. So he realized that the heel corresponded to the mother principle.
Mm.
And then he looked for where's the father principle? And he found it on the side of the big toe. And then he realized that this whole spinal line that goes from the side of the big toe down to the heel corresponds to our time in the womb, the father point being the conception point and the mother point being the birth point. And from there, a whole line of thinking came up around what we develop in the womb. So physically, the fetus is developing the body, but on the level of consciousness, a whole series of things develop. So initially, we develop our human beingness. You know, we our consciousness comes in, and we realize that I'm not a rock, I'm not a plant or a tree. Actually, I'm a human being. And then we develop our sense of self, our individuality. And then the body slowly, the fetus, slowly starts to open out from being in a very inwardly turned position. And that opening out corresponds to how we in life will open to the world. And this means how we will give our gift. So when we have blocks that are seated at that 4.5 month point during this time called opening to the world, it would be something like what I described about myself, the artist who's longing to get out there and express their gift and offer it to the world, and it's blocked. Or it could be the person who does a degree at university and they do really well, but when it comes to getting out there in the world, either they can't find work or maybe they say, oh, I'm going to go and do another degree, for example. In other words, they want to stay in the cocoon. They don't want to go out and show themselves. So after that, what we develop is our social beingness, how we're going to relate to other people. So when a pattern is seeded during that time, we will have something that will obstruct us from really being open-hearted and confident and being ourselves with other people. We might have the pattern of being the outsider or feeling that we're different and that people won't like us, or we might feel that we're superior, hence we can't really connect with other people. So it's any flavor of pattern that blocks us from really connecting lovingly. And then when the head engages in the birth canal, so we're preparing to make a transition, And this corresponds to how we'll transition in life. So in life, we need to continually renew ourselves. And if we have a block during this phase, then we might stay in a relationship that's perhaps been wonderful, but it doesn't serve us anymore, and we need to let it go. And if there's a block there, we'll not be able to let it go. Or it might be that a job is no longer growing us, and we just can't let go of it. Or maybe we let go of things too quickly. We throw them away before we're even complete with them. And then when we're born, the birth is this quantum leap where we go from one environment to a whole new environment. And it establishes how we take action. It's our first, very first action in life, and it will be repeated when we need to act, and it's important in our lives. So, for example, if we were born cesarean, we go down the birth canal and we prepare to make this quantum leap and get ourselves from A to B, and we get stuck. And so we sort of flag our distress, and then instead of doing it for ourselves, someone else comes in and does the action for us.
Mm.
And so that will repeat later in life.
Wow.
And so in metamorphic technique, by touching the places that correspond to the very seed of all of these patterns, it allows our own life force to come in and say, okay, this is what she's ready to shift now. So the mind might say, well, I'd like more money, or I'd like a new partner, or a new home, whatever it is. But actually, our life force and our innate intelligence knows actually what she needs to do is shift this and shift that, and that evolve us in a way that's authentic to our deeper self.
Wow, that's amazing. I loved what you said earlier on with people just initially having the work on their feet, and then coming back with all the things, whether it's mother issues or father issues. But it just sort of tied back beautifully the way you described the dam sort of becoming dislodged and starting to open, and a big flow of energy, a flow of something that's been held for a long time releasing. And I was just wondering, with the metamorphic technique, I guess like definitely in the world of detox, often things have to get worse before they get any better, as the body naturally cleanses itself. And is that something that's typical for metamorphic technique as well?
It can happen. Everyone's transformation is completely unique to them. Like, for example, when I transform, it's kind of dramatic, you know. So then I'll have a little bit of a detox or a healing crisis, or I'll get a little bit of a flavor of whatever is transforming. So if I'm transforming abandonment, then my boyfriend might say to me, well, I'm going to play cards tonight with the boys, and I'll feel completely abandoned. But that is just an echo of the old pattern as it leaves my energy field. So a disproportionate reaction, or the sense, the feeling of the pattern as it leaves, it will come up. That can happen. But then my girlfriend transforms in a completely different way, and she has a much more measured and easy flow with transformation. And at times I would observe her and think, well, is anything shifting there? And it would be very slow and steady. And then all of a sudden, when you look back, she's made this sort of quantum leap, but in a very gentle and measured way.
Mm.
So we all have different rhythms and do it according to our nature.
It's a really nice answer. Cool. Okay, we've got a question from Patrick in the United States, and leads on very nice from what we're just talking about. But Patrick wants to know, how do we get past what we have long accepted as reality?
Well, what we've accepted as reality is what the mind has accepted as reality. And the mind is just such a small player in the whole equation, you know? So if we just get easy with what is, like right now I'm feeling stuck around this, but know that it's not fixed. Nothing is fixed. We're continually in evolution. And I think the more you allow the mind to kind of say, well, this is how it is, the more you're tightening up. So you're really obstructing the flow of life. But if you, you know, if you're just looser with it, life will move you forwards.
Great. Cool. Okay, we've got a question from Emma, and Emma's in Australia. And Emma asks, how do I emerge from this transformation cocoon I find myself in? It feels as if I've been in here for some time and I'm starting to wonder if I'll ever break out.
I think, again, that's a question about the mind. I think it's the mind that gets us stuck. So maybe sometimes people get too stuck in a process. I think definitely with sort of therapy and mind-oriented healing, we can get into this sort of Woody Allen mode where we need to go 3 times a week and we can explore. We become sort of the detective, the psychic detective or something, this happened because of this, and now I need to explore this, and I've just uncovered a new thing, and it's because of this. And I don't think that's actually healing. I think that sort of, it can be a bit mind games. I do think that the psychotherapy and counseling is useful, but it's only one level of healing because the mind is just the surface level of the whole organism. And it's not the most flexible one. It's a little bit straight and static. So it's a useful tool, but it needs to be kept in its place. And I think profound transformation happens at a much deeper level than the mind. So I'm kind of guessing from her question that maybe she's in a deep exploration. So she's aware that she's in a sort of an undoing, but maybe she's getting too mad for it, too involved. So I think just be easy with it. The mind just wants, the mind feeds on all this information and new avenues and new problems. So if you're into that, it's interesting, but it's not actually going to resolve itself. There'll always be more. But if you can just sort of observe yourself and just let it be easy with it, let it go, and know that transformation comes from a much deeper place. I feel that the way forward is just to say yes to life, whatever life offers us, and not get too caught up in it. Just say, okay, life has offered me this. I'm just going to flow with it. I mean, just to give you a personal example, I'm quite the cliched, 40-year-old woman who's really into health, healthy living, no vices now, and lots of yoga and all of that. And last May, out of the blue, I got quite ill, and so I, initially felt like, oh my God, I won't be able to work. Who's going to pay the mortgage? And, this little contraction came in, and then I just went, breathe out, And I thought, what is this about? And right away it came to me, go to India and write the book. And so without getting too involved in the problem, I just surrendered to what it was offering me, and it shifted me. It allowed me to make a quantum leap in who I was. So rather than just being the teacher and the therapist, sort of head down, chipping away at the career and all, it forced me forward by not contracting, by just going with it and not allowing the mind to sort of figure out why I was ill, what it meant, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just flowing with life, saying yes to life, and it will always move you forwards.
Yeah. For me personally, one of the most rewarding personal development that I did last year was actually to do some acting classes, and it was like improvisation acting classes, and I just loved, like, even though it wasn't intentionally a personal development course, I actually found it one of the most transformational thought processes that I've actually been through, or living processes, and just that whole notion of saying yes to life is very much a thought or idea that's embedded in the improvisation technique in acting, where anything that happens on stage, you always say yes to. If an unexpected new character enters the stage, or a split personality, or a sudden death, like, you never actually say no to the unfolding story. You always say yes to it. And I suppose being in different workshops and observing what actually happens when you say no to a change in the plot, the actual story tapers off very, very quickly, but as soon as you accept whatever's going on in that stage, it really has an opportunity to grow and go into really exciting and unexpected directions. And I'm really glad that you shared that, Dominique.
That's really exciting, isn't it? Just saying yes. Just it's like being a surfer, isn't it? You know, here comes a big wave. You better be really flexible and embrace it, and you can have a great ride. But if you get all tight, you're really going to get mashed.
That's exactly right. Now, I've got a question here from Raja in Nepal. And Raja asks, I want to be a fearless person. Can you help?
Right. I think, you know, we are all fearless. And that really connects to what we've been talking about, because fearlessness is in your energy field, first of all. And if you say yes to life, then there's nothing to fear. If you just trust life, there is nothing to fear. It's all for the good. It's all for your expansion. It's always moving you forwards. Only you can obstruct it. Otherwise, every single thing is there to expand us. So fearlessness, it's just there. It's already there for this person.
Mm. And say, like on a greater scale, where there's lots of collective fear that's mounting as well, and you can feel, I suppose, with all the media coverage in the UK, there is a almost like a programmed fear that's been generated. And I suppose using the example of the dam, it's almost what feels like this energy is just percolating for people. And I was just wondering, in terms of actually releasing collective fears, is it something that the metamorphic technique can share in terms of perspective of how we may be able to do that as a culture and as a society for, I guess, to welcome in new possibilities?
Okay, a couple of things. The first thing is that I think it happens individually. So we raise our level of consciousness by letting go of the patterns that limit us. And as we become more of our potential, our level of consciousness rises. And I think as our level of consciousness rises, we're going to be drawn away from the media and all the fear-mongering stuff and people who are vibrating at that level, and we're going to be drawn to people who are more expansive and leading the way forward. The other thing is that collectively, if you remember when I was describing this birth process, and then we, you know, the head engages in the birth canal, and then we're about to make a quantum leap. Well, on a planetary level, this is where we're now. We are going down the birth canal, so we're in the transitional phase, and we're about to make a quantum leap. And of course, it's a bit scary, but we just need to go for it. You know, when I came back and said to people, you know, how's it going, I just noticed how much more creative they were. It was like either some people had gone into contraction or they were in a massive expansion, because the energies are really accelerating us. So if we're aligned with our truth, everything that we're trying to do is going to happen so much faster now and so much easier. And even just letting go of the old stuff is going to happen so much easier if that's the direction that we're pointing our being in.
I've certainly personally felt that very, very strongly. I just feel like now is probably one of the most creative times in my life, and I know lots of people that I'm in contact with are feeling in a similar space, and there is lots of possibilities. And I do like the whole notion of aligning with your own personal truth, whatever that truth may be. Like if you're pointed in the right direction, this will actually carry you along beautifully with the flow of life.
That's it. So it's very, very exciting right now. And in fact, you know, we've all incarnated to participate in this. It's just that we've forgotten, and now we're slowly waking up. But it's really a wonderful time to be alive, because we're birthing a new man. We're birthing a new world culture.
That's beautiful. Great. Okay, we've got a question here from Tara. And Tara asks, with regards to planetary changes, to what extent do they cause or release emotional blocks?
Yeah, they don't cause any blocks. Our blocks are our own personal issues, and it's our own personal journey, these blocks, and they are our opportunities for expansion. But what the energies on the planet are doing is they're intensifying any density in us. So basically anything that doesn't really serve us is going to start to rattle around and shake itself up. Now, if we just let it transform as it wants to do, then we're going to notice, wow, you know, I've struggled with this all my life, and all of a sudden I'm not behaving in that way. I feel so much freer and so much more expanded. But if we go into fear and if we let the mind kind of talk us into protecting ourselves and contracting, then it's going to be very uncomfortable, and much more uncomfortable than it was in the past.
Mm. Mm. Well, no, for me personally, around work, actually, I had a theme that just kept reappearing throughout my life, and that the theme was actually getting fired from different jobs. And I, as time went on, like, I kept ignoring the fact that I really wasn't cut out for working for anyone else. And that whole chestnut, I guess, of the message knocks very gently to start with, and then as you keep sort of hiding your head in the sand or not paying attention, the actual knocks at the door get progressively louder and louder. And I just really resonated with the sentiments of what you just shared there.
Mm. Yeah, life is just really urging us to be all that we can be. It's just so important right now, and there's kind of no escaping it.
Mm.
Which is why, in a way, I think this tool is so relevant for right now, because it doesn't engage the mind, and because it's going to help us when we get to those stuck places. I mean, you know, we're all, no matter how expansive we are, we all have these little pockets which are this, you know, the really difficult one that's just not shifting. And so when that comes up and you give yourself a session, or you do a swap with somebody, or you go for a metamorphic session, it can just help you move through that resistance.
Mm. And I was just wondering personally, Dominique, with the metamorphic technique, you say it's a powerful tool that doesn't engage the mind. Just wondering for someone just about to, like, experience a session, what kind of state of being do they need to be in for it to have full effect? Is it a place of no mind, or is it just a deep, relaxed state?
It actually doesn't matter. And this is the crazy thing about metamorphic. You can do it at home while you watch telly, and your mind is going to be busy watching telly, but energetically, this touch is going to work to dissolve the patterns. I had one student who had a husband, and she described him as being quite reserved, English, and very workaholic. So his whole focus was, you know, he was always at work, basically. And she did the workshop and then went home and gave him a session while they were watching football or something. And she wrote to me very excited and said, "I've given him one session and now he's giving me kisses, cuddles, and more, ... And he said he's now making his family his priority, and he seems completely transformed."
Wow.
And that continued.
That's a good story if I've ever heard one.
yeah, that's a good one. I mean, other kind of things that happen are, I taught a couple who had an 8-year-old, and their 5-year-old daughter was reading and writing, very expressive, communicative, but the 8-year-old was very slow in her reading and writing and actually would only communicate with two words, yes and no. And so they learned the technique and went home and gave her a session. And children don't need as long a session as adults. They need like a few minutes on their feet at bedtime, and that's it. So that's what they did for 2 nights in a row. And on the third day, the girl started speaking. So
Wow. Basically,
mentally, you know, her mind was intact. She had a, you know, developed thinking process. But there was some barrier to communicating. And so as soon as that dissolved, bang, she starts speaking.
Wow.
Another one was a guitar player who was playing in the theater in the West End, and he had repetitive strain injury on his wrist, so he was in a lot of pain when he was performing and when he would practice in between. And I just gave him a 15-minute session, a taster session, which I offer to people free if they want to experience it. And the next week I saw him, and he said, well, the most interesting thing happened. He was practicing, and the pain got very, very intense, and then it kind of blew out, and it never came back. And so now it's been a few years, and he's not had that problem again. So physical things can shift, and they can shift immediately. The life force can heal anything.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I know with a lot of healing techniques, that particularly distance healing, that it's advisable to ask for permission. And for anyone sitting at home thinking about whether they should pull out their partner's feet and give them a quick rub, is it consent something that needs to be there in the metamorphic process, or is it just a gentle touch?
Right, yeah, we have that same ethical view. It's that you can offer it to someone, and you don't have to explain the whole story of what it is, but basically if they give you the foot, there's a willingness to participate in this transformational experience. And if they pull away their foot, it means that they don't want to shift, or that they're not ready to, or they just don't want to. So we always respect that.
Mm. Great. And for a typical metamorphic session, how long would they actually run for?
Well, when I give a session, it's an hour session. And I think, though, in daily life, when people use it for themselves, I think you can just do it however and whenever you like and you can. So, you know, if you were on, when we were traveling in India, you take these long train journeys. So you can do each other's feet. And it kind of lets you get in touch with your life force and sort of calms you down, makes you feel peaceful, and just be with what is at the time. I do it in all sorts of circumstances. If I'm feeling a little upset or triggered about something, I'll just do my hands or my feet as and when. So it's kind of a very user-friendly tool, because you just use it however you can.
Mm. Beautiful. Now we're approaching, getting very close to the end of the hour, Dominic. I just wanted to just really take this opportunity to say thank you for the incredible wisdom that you've shared over the past 50 minutes. I've been taking copious amounts of notes personally, and I've just made some really, really powerful decisions for myself. And I have no doubt that people listening at home, or indeed listening back to this recording, will have had some powerful aha moments as well. And I was just wondering if you could share with people, if they feel moved to deepen their understanding of your work, and how they can actually find out more about you and participate in some of your workshops, or indeed some of your one-on-one sessions.
Well, I mean, they can look on my website, which is metamorphicjourneys.co.uk, and I'm teaching workshops, weekend workshops in London and in Brighton every month, and I do one-day workshops in Manchester and the New Forest and in Dublin. And, I give free tasters to people. If they want to come and spend half an hour with me and experience it, they're more than welcome to just do that, because I feel really on a mission to get this out to people right now. So I'd love to hear from your listeners. And I just want to say I'm really touched to be on this program. It's like I said to you before, you've created a real portal of consciousness. And you've got some great people on the site, and it's just a really wonderful thing for people to have access to this, because, you know, this is the energy that we need. We need this kind of nourishment to feed ourselves and to just stay conscious.
Mm. Thank you, Dominic. I feel in as much awe as you do, actually. It is just a phenomenal process just to come together with people, regardless of where they are based geographically, regardless of colour, culture, creed, beliefs, present ideas and thoughts purely as stimulation for people to think and to question and to really come alive to their own possibilities and potential, firstly for themselves and then also in their communities and the greater world as well.
Mm.
And it's just been really, really lovely to have you be a part of it. One question I did want to ask you, Dominique, was, you went away to the Himalayas to write, and I was just wondering if you could share about your writing journey and the book that you've got in development, just to give people a little taste of how your journey is progressing.
Well, after I got that kick up the backside to go write the book, and I said yes to it, I booked a flight to India, and I went to Rishikesh, and initially I couldn't find a peaceful place to write. There were a lot of travelers, and, you know, once I got there, I remembered that India is quite a noisy place. And one day I was really at my wit's end, and I just said to the angels, and I don't always work with the angels, but in this case, I just didn't have any other recourse, and I said, you know, angels, I need to write this book, or more accurately, if you want this book written, sort me out a place. And within 5 minutes, someone stopped on a moped and said, are you looking for a quiet place to stay? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, I have my family's estate up in the Himalayas, 4 hours from here. It's a totally remote place. There won't be another tourist about. There are no shops. There's nothing. And I said, yeah, let's go. And so we went up there and found just the most amazing old colonial building surrounded by the white peaks of India, Nanda Devi, and then the Nepalese peaks. And it was quite amazing because the weather turned really bad the next day, and it was raining, so I was in my room typing away at the computer, and thunder struck, and the computer burnt out. Well, actually, the computer didn't burn out, but the lead did. And so for 2 weeks, I had no computer. And I thought, oh, my God, what next, you know? But then I realized that I needed to study more. I had these old texts by Robert St. John, who created the technique. So I delved into these texts, and this really deepened my understanding even further. And I guess I'm in the middle of writing the book now. I wrote the whole foundation of the book was written there. And now coming back to London, I've been re-inspired, and I've got new ideas that I want to put in there. But what I'm trying to write is a book that will, first of all, really explain the whole process of transformation, personal transformation, and how we're in this massively exciting planetary transformation, so that there can be less fear around this whole process when it comes up for us, obviously personally, and with all the stuff that's going on with the economy and the climate and the oil and so on. And then I'm trying to explain this tool and this whole process of what goes on in the womb and how that wave of development is repeated in life and then socially and then in terms of our spiritual life as well. So I feel it's going to be a very, very rich book, and yeah, I hope it'll be out soon. So, you know, watch this space.
Cool. Very much look forward to reading it. And just in closing, Dominique, I was just wondering if you had any final words of wisdom for people as they move through this transformational process of life.
I guess I'd just say trust it. Trust life and just stay open. That those two things are your best ally. Just keep on saying yes. Even if it hurts, just say yes to it, and it will transform so easily. That's been my experience. That's the best advice.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dominique. Thank you, everyone listening at home. It really is a privilege to be of service to you, and it's also a great pleasure to read your questions each and every single week. We have, for those of you seeing at home as well, we have just overhauled the People You Should Meet website. What you'll find on the site now is a forum where you can actually connect with other listeners. We also have, with each of the recordings, an opportunity for people to write and leave their comments and share your experience of the things that you're learning. Not only is it great for your own self-expression, it also helps people who are thinking about listening to the recording as well. So this is the era of self-empowerment and self-expression, so do encourage you all to make the most of those tools. Okay, so that's the end of our call, and I just again wanted to thank you, Dominique, and thank you everyone at home.
Thanks, Damien, and take care, everybody.
Cool. Good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.